Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to read very familiar verses starting at verse number 10. I realize you've been standing for a while, so we're just going to read a couple verses of scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles? The deceit, the craftiness, or the trickery. That you may be able to stand against that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we in the evil day? Yeah. Having done all to stand. I want to preach here just on a simple subject, and that subject is, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that we feel already in this house. And I thank you, Lord, for each and every individual that is here. Now, God, this is your church. These are your people. We are your sheep, and I am your vessel. So help me, Lord, to speak every word that is intended. I pray that my flesh will not get in the way. We will forever give you the praise, glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name that we pray. If you're ready to receive the word, clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. Amen. You may be seated. Presence of the Lord. Well, I've come to preach here today to some people that are in the middle of a storm. If you're not there, just help me preach this morning. People that are in the middle of a storm, people that need some direction, people that have even lost your sense of direction and need some guidance. I've come to really help some people today and hopefully to encourage you to let you know that you will overcome. Sometimes you just need to hear the words, you will get through this. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need to hear the words, you will get through this. I know that some of you may be crying, but I want to let you know and remind you that you're still standing. The scripture says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sometimes there's nothing more to do, just stand. Nowhere else to go, just stand. Nothing else to lean on, just stand. No one else to call upon, just stand. So I know you may be hurting. I know there may be some pain, maybe even in your physical body, but you're still standing. You could be wondering and questioning, why do I have to go through what I'm dealing with? Could there be an easier way and still get the same outcome? But I want to remind some people here this morning that, see, oftentimes the Lord has to take us through what we're going through. This may not apply to all people, but for many of us, you have to go through what you're going through because you wouldn't have the understanding of him like you know him. And I can make this very plain. I've said it before, so this is not new here, but you wouldn't know him to be a healer unless you've been sick. You wouldn't know him to be a deliverer unless you've been bound. You wouldn't know him to be a waymaker unless you didn't see an escape. But because I've been sick, I know I can call him my healer. Because I've been bound, I know I can call him my deliverer. Because when I didn't see a way out, I know I can call him the one that's able to make a way when it seems like there is no way. And so you have to go through what you're going through, some of you, because you wouldn't know him like you know him. Because oftentimes we pray for greater revelation, but we don't want to go through the situations. But see, situations bring about greater revelation. It's because I've been through the storm, I realize that Jesus is still in my storm, even though I'm going through the storm. So you don't have to look too far to see where your Redeemer is. If you just look to your right or to your left, I promise you, he's standing right there. So I'm here to remind someone, Jesus has not left you, neither has he forgotten you, but he's right there and he's been there the whole time. I don't know what I'm going to preach too much of my notes here this morning, but I'm going to encourage somebody. I want to let you know that Jesus is right there next to you. So don't get weary in well doing, for in due season, there's coming a reaping season. Oh, somebody ought to receive that right there. I'm telling you, there's a reaping season that's going to come, that God is getting ready to pull you out of your situation, and he's about to turn it around. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now you need to understand that some folks are not going to be with you that are with you now. Some of you are about to start losing friends. You're about to start losing associates because God is trying to get you to another level in him. And anytime God wants to elevate you, there are some things, some chains that have to come off of you in order for you to elevate. And many times our biggest chains or weaknesses are the people that we surround ourselves with. So don't think it's strange that when all of a sudden you're not as close as you once were to somebody just a few months ago. It's not that they hate you. It's not that you have a hate for them. God is just trying to move you to another level. And see, when you get to that next level, you need to understand that some people are not spiritually fit in order to go with you to that next level. But you cannot be concerned about the people that are not spiritually ready like you are, because here you are trying to pray more, they're not. Here you are trying to worship more, they're not. Here you are trying to come to the house of God more, they're not. Oh. I hope I'm talking to somebody in here, because there's some coworkers, there's some people in your family that are just not ready for the level that God is taking you to. Can I make this very plain? Because some of you are hearing chatter in your ear saying, won't you just take it easy? Won't you just lighten up a little bit? The devil is a liar. I'm in a fight for my life, and I'm not giving up. My God, I'm not giving up. I've come too far. God's done too much. So I've got one more dance. I've got one more shout. Does anybody have one more hand clap of praise? Somebody magnify the Lord in this house. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. It seems like every time you turn around, there's a new devil. It seems like every time you turn around, something else is popping up. It seems like you cross one hurdle and here comes a mountain. It's like, man, I like the hurdles. Why are you giving me a mountain now? It seems like every time you get over something, here comes something else. But I want to let you know that David fought many Goliaths or many giants in his life. But first he had to take out Goliath. But because he took out Goliath, he had the faith to believe that if God can help me take down one giant, he can help you take down the next giant. So you need to look back over your life and see what God has brought you from, because if he's brought you over some things, he can take you over the next thing. So don't think this problem that's in your way is too big or too wide. You don't understand the God that you serve, because the Bible says if God be for me, who can be against me? You need to stop looking at your mountain, thinking that mountain is too big, but you need to take a step back and say, mountain, look at my God. My God is greater. My God is more than enough. My God is able. Does anybody know that you serve a greater God that's bigger than any mountain that's in your way? Hallelujah. Well. So I just want to encourage you here this morning that you will get through this, that God has something greater for you on the other side, and that you need to understand that this is a spiritual battle, and you cannot lose this battle. I'm going to say that again. You can't lose this battle. You can't lose this battle. It's a spiritual battle. The scripture says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, our good brother who was singing up here in the praise team, Buster, knows more about this than I do. But in a wrestling match, the objective is to basically get your opponent onto the ground. He can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the objective. Okay, he gave me a thumbs up. That's it. In a wrestling match, the objective is to get your opponent on the ground. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Stop knocking each other down to the ground. I know you're not going to shout off that one, but it's still true. Stop knocking each other down. I'm not wrestling against you. I'll move on. But against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness, that's what I'm trying to wrestle to the ground. Anybody ever heard the song, I Got the Devil Under My Feet? You know, if you do a little history in a Greek wrestling match, okay? Greek wrestling match, the loser of a Greek wrestling match would have their eyes gouged out. Where do you coach wrestling at, Buster? McCutcheon? Yeah, let's start making that a rule. See how many losses y'all have. You taking my eyes out, I'm winning every match. Amen. Mm-hmm. Have their eyes gouged out. Why is this relevant? Because, see, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you to a place where he gouges out your eyes. I'm not talking about your natural eyes, but your spiritual eyes. Because if faith can't see it, faith won't pursue it. Well, let me talk to somebody over here that can receive that. If your faith can't see it, then your faith won't pursue it. If you don't see yourself delivered, you'll never pursue deliverance. If you don't see your family saved, you'll never pursue your family. If you don't see yourself healed, you'll never pursue healing. Faith has to see it in order for you to pursue it. So if God says I'm coming out, then I'm going to pursue my deliverance. My God, how do you pursue it, preacher? Because every day I wake up, I'm having these mind struggles. I'm not talking about how you're struggling in your mind. I'm talking about the words that come out of your mouth. Because I can be struggling in my mind, but my heart can be right. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I'm going to speak deliverance, even though I don't see deliverance. But my faith says I'm coming out. So if my faith says I'm coming out, I'm going to wake up and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. So when people see you smile when you should be mad, you say, I'm pursuing what God has for me, and I'm not allowing my trouble to dictate my praise. Does anybody in here have a praise unto the Lord, not based on what you're going through, but what you believe God is able to do? Somebody clap your hands one more time. Give God a great praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So faith has to see it. Come on, y'all know Hebrews 11 and 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. I don't see it, but I know it's there. I don't see it, but I know it's there. And see, we need to really start memorizing verse number 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. They obtained. How do you obtain some? Pursue. Hallelujah. They obtained a good report. Why? Because they believed in something that they haven't seen in the natural, but they believed it through faith. They said, if God said it, it's going to happen. If God proclaimed it, then I'm going to believe in it. You know, the story comes to mind when Elijah was challenging the prophets of Baal. I believe there was 850 false prophets in total there. And Elijah says, how long are ye halt between two opinions? Right? How long are ye going to halt, or how long halt ye, I believe that's the correct way, between two opinions. The word halt there, if you look that up, it means to cripple or to be crippled. So how long are you going to allow yourself to be crippled on false doctrine? You are crippling yourself by worshiping this false god. So how long are you going to allow yourself, when you know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How long are you going to be crippled by false doctrine? Can I bring it down to our level? How long are you going to be crippled by false information? Whose voice are you listening to? How long are you going to be crippled by this false information that you are receiving from the enemy when you should not be caught between those two opinions? If God be God, then he's God. Matter of fact, Elijah said, if the Lord be God, then serve him. Stop serving the works of the devil. Stop giving him credence to your home and to your heart and into your mind. You're allowing that enemy to take hold, a stronghold in your home. But the devil is a liar. I've come to walk down somebody's row here. I hope I don't make you uncomfortable. No, that's not true. I hope I make you uncomfortable, because I want to walk down your row here and tell you that God is for you. I said he's for you. He's for you. Stop listening to the words of the enemy telling you that you are going to be defeated. The devil is a liar. I am victorious. I said I am victorious. I'm going to come out. I'm going to be delivered because I believe that I'm on the Lord's side. Do I have any believers in here that know that God is able? Give your neighbor a high five and tell him I'm victorious. Woo! Clap your hands unto the Lord and magnify him. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So you know what we got to do? Okay, I'll answer it then. Be seated, please. Give me Hebrews 11. Okay, and verse 17. Praise God. I love it when I'm right, because a lot of times I'm wrong. I don't need folks going home. Pastor don't know his Bible. He's supposed to be the man of God. He don't know his Bible. You know how people do, right? Right? You can be a couple verses off. I knew I shouldn't have went to that church. He's a false prophet. Hey, man. I'm just telling the truth. Got this one right, though. Okay. By faith, Abraham. So we're about to read two or three of one of my favorite verses that is overlooked. Okay? We talk about Abraham from the standpoint of Abraham being called of God and leaving his home. Right? I'm sure 80% of you probably are aware of that Abraham was called by God and he left his home, left his country, left his family to go into a country that he didn't know where he was going. But he just moved by faith. Right? Listen to this, though. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. Anybody going through a trial? When he was tried, what was he tried about? To offer up his own son. When he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise, the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Wait a minute. There's an issue here. Because God told him something. God gave him a promise. Verse number 18. Of whom it was said. Who said it? God said it. That in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Wait a minute. You gave me a promise and said that I'm going to have a son, and through this son is going to be the promise of an heir, going to be the promise of the kingdom through Abraham. And now you want me to give him up? He hasn't even had his own son yet. And now you want me to kill him before he even has a son? Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Wait a minute, Lord. You opened up this door. Wait a minute, God. You provided this. Now you want me to give it up? Now you want me to walk away from it? Now you want me to give it back? He was tried. See, we like the blessings of God. We don't sometimes like the trying. Y'all want to get back to jumping, don't you? Okay. We don't like the trying of God. Of whom it was said that Isaac shall thy seed be called. Go to verse number 19. Accounting, he took into account. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. See, sometimes we need to recall some things to our mind of what God has said to us. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. So Abraham said, now wait a minute, Lord. You told me. And now that you're telling me something different, I'm going to trust you because you can't go back on your word. Somebody needs to receive that right there. God cannot go back on his word. So if he gave you a promise, it's going to come to pass. Abraham said, you told me that my promise is through my son Isaac. So even if he died, I believe he'll get back up. Let's read this one more time. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham said, if I kill my son, I have to have enough faith in the God that I serve. Wait a minute, not only that, but in the word that he has given me. Because oftentimes we believe in God until he says something we don't like. Until he says something we don't quite agree with. Until he says something that even sounds contradictory. Wait a minute. You told me I'm going to have a son, but now this seems contradicting. Abraham said, wait, I've got to count up the costs. Wait a minute. Has God ever led me the wrong way? Has God ever said or done anything to me that has led me astray? So why would he start now leading me somewhere that he's never done before? So now if he's telling me to offer up my son, he must have a master plan that I don't realize. So even if he's dead, I believe God's going to raise him back up. I'm telling somebody right now, you may have a dead situation that you're looking at, but I'm telling you, God is able to raise it back up. I'm telling you, I don't care what it looks like. God is still the resurrector. He's still the life. He's still the one that's able to do all things. Somebody will throw up your hands and lift the name of Jesus, because you know God has not given up on you. Hallelujah. You want to know something, Abraham? This was a spiritual battle. Because his obedience produced spiritual results. I wish I had some preachers in here that knew where I was going right now. It was a spiritual battle. His obedience produced spiritual results. How was that? Because now we are a part of Abraham's. We're part of his seed. We're part of his promise. It produced a spiritual result. That's what you're in. You're in a spiritual battle. God doesn't. He hasn't stopped loving you. He hasn't stopped caring about you. He hasn't turned his back on you. You're in a spiritual battle. I know people are telling you, oh, just ease up. You don't need to go to church that much. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Because it's a spiritual battle. And I need to be in the house of God, surrounded by God's people, in an atmosphere where God can manifest himself. Oh, I need this. You don't need to listen to them, folks. You don't need to do that. I'm telling you, all these voices that you've been hearing, it's a spiritual battle. And you are being tried right now, my friend. That's what you're being tried. Accounting. I love that word. Abraham, he took an account. He said, wait a minute now. Even if he was to die, God's got to raise him up. There's no way God brought me this far. Think about where Abraham is right now. This far for him to go back on me and give up on me now. No. It goes the same for you. God has not brought you this far. I'm not concerned about your past. I'm talking to you right now so that you can have a better future. I'm preaching into somebody's future right now. I'm preaching into somebody's tomorrow right now. I'm telling you, the same God that is here right now is going to be with you tomorrow. And the deliverance that you received this morning is going to be with you tomorrow. I'm telling you, I know you've been struggling. I know you've been through. I know the enemy's been attacking your mind and your heart. But he is the father of all lies. So if the devil says yes, it's gotta be a no. And if the devil says no, it's gotta be a yes. And I think in my heart that many of you have been hearing no, 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 not gonna happen. And I'm here to tell you, yes, 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 it's gonna happen because the Lord is on our side. I need about 55 people to leap to your feet and shout, yes, it's going to happen. Yes, I'm gonna come out. Yes. My children are coming back. Yes, I'm going to be delivered. Yes, God is doing it right now. Somebody clap your hands and shout, yes. Clap your hands and magnify the name of Jesus. I feel like running in this place. Somehow to magnify the Lord just for a moment. Come on and lift up the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Woo, man, my Lord, time is getting away from me fast. Can I have a few more minutes, please? My Lord, so you've got to understand that everything Jesus went through, man, I'm going to skip a whole lot here, but everything that Jesus went through, it was a spiritual battle. His purpose was for a spiritual purpose. It was a spiritual thing. Everything he went through, all the Pharisees and the scribes and how they would continually just antagonize him and try to condemn him. Matter of fact, if you read the word, it will oftentimes say looking to accuse him. They were often trying to do that. But Jesus understood this is a spiritual battle. I got to remain pure. I have to remain holy. I have to remain that spotless lamb because he who knew no sin took on the sin of the world. Now, why is that important? Because now when he gets to Pilate, later in the Gospels, when he gets to Pilate, Pilate's trying to find a reason here and why they should execute this man by death of the cross. Pilate cannot understand it. He can't see it. Matter of fact, if you read in the Gospels, Pilate actually says to him, why won't you answer me? Why won't you talk to me? Because Pilate is trying to get something out of him. Don't you understand, Jesus, that I have the power to execute you? I have the power to hang you on a tree. I have the power, the one that can do this. And I also have the power to release you. So I can hang you on that tree or I can release you. Don't you realize that? Jesus looked at Pilate and said, you have no power. You have no power unless it was given to you from above. See, Jesus was letting Pilate know, you just don't understand. This is a spiritual battle. It has nothing to do with you. You just don't understand. I was created to hang on a tree. I was created to be the savior of the world. I wish Jesus would have looked at Pilate and said, you just don't understand. I've got to go there so that I can have an opportunity to save you. Hallelujah. See, they didn't understand that. And now if I can fast forward, now Jesus is there being placed on the cross. You need to understand that every time they drove a nail, every time they drove that nail into his hands, every time they drove that nail into his feet, every time they did that, blood was coming out. And when that blood was coming out, deliverance was coming out. When that blood was coming out, healing was coming out. So every time they drove a nail, more deliverance came. Every time they drove a nail, more healing came. Every time they drove a nail, you're not hearing me right now. Every time they drove that nail, healing began to pour out. Deliverance began to pour out. All these things began to pour out from him. So I've come to tell someone, every time somebody drives a nail into you, every time somebody's trying to persecute you, every time somebody talks about you, every time a bad word is named about you and among you and you know it's not true, everything that's happening in your life, those nails are being driven into you. But I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. So every time it happens, that just means more deliverance is being poured out. Every time you keep your mouth shut and don't try to come after them, deliverance is being poured out. You don't worry about fighting your battle because this battle belongs to the Lord. And every time they say a bad word against you, you keep your mouth shut. The songwriter says, if I just hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, the song says, victory shall be mine. I wish I had somebody in here that felt like you had some nails being driven in your body. But I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. And I'm telling you, this fight belongs to the Lord. And every time they say something about you, deliverance is being poured out. I feel a release happening in this atmosphere. If you're ready to receive it, clap your hands one more time in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, singers. Come on, musicians. I'm wrapping this up very, very quickly. I'm trying to get you out of here this morning, but I feel the Holy Ghost down on the inside. I'm telling you, it's a spiritual battle. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw up your hands and say, well, I might as well quit. I might as well stop coming back to this church. The devil is a liar. I've come to tell somebody and prophesy in the Holy Ghost that God is getting ready to turn it around. Isn't it's about to happen real quick. Somebody shout real quick. God is getting ready to do a quick work. I'm telling you, the Lord is about to catapult you to another level in him. You just got to believe that God is able to do it. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. You're not losing this battle. You're not losing this battle. You got to excuse me. I grew up an athlete. I'm not an athlete no more. But I still think I am. That's the problem. See, we used to have coaches that would get, so close to our face and say, boy, get back up. Get in that game. You get so down on yourself because you made a mistake. You turned the ball over. You did something. You let down your team. Right? That coach would say, boy, get back in that game. Just don't do it again. Get back in that game. Just don't make the same mistake twice.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If I need to be somebody's spiritual coach here today, I've got to be your spiritual coach and say, don't give up. Don't quit. Get back in the game. I know you made a mistake. Just don't do it again. But get back in the game. Get up. Dust off your knees. Clean yourself off. Get back in the game. Because God hasn't given up on you. So why are you giving up on yourself? God hasn't quit on you. Don't quit on him. Get up and get back in the game. I'm telling you, my friend, I feel a hunger here in the house. And I don't care who you are, where you come from. There's a hunger here, and I want you to pursue that hunger. I need your faith to see it, though, because what faith can't see, faith won't pursue. But I believe God is opening some eyes and some hearts here this morning. And I'm telling you, if your faith is being released right now, I want you to come pursue it, knowing that God is able to do it. So get up, get back in the game.